Hey, Ollie.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, welcome back to our podcast.
Welcome back to What Difference Does It Make?
This is exciting. We're in a different venue.
We are in a different venue, and we're moving into a different year.
That's true. It's 2020.
Yeah, it's 2020, and we are also moving into a different year in our theme.
1983. Yeah, we've been talking about it last year, way
long ago,
back in 2019, whenever that was. But now we are talking 83 legitimately.
We're going to start counting them down.
Yeah, and by counting it down, we mean that we're going to be talking about the countdown list from KROQ. This is the original list that they put out. You know, they did their December 31st countdown of all their favorites from that year. And we're going to talk about each and every one of them. They did 106.7 songs back in 1983. They redid this list because they have their Rock of the 80s radio station that you can hear on
HD.
On HD radio. Thank you. You could also hear it online. They redid only, they only had like top 80s of each year.
They
top
pared 80 down of each the list. They're right. Paring down the list of 106.7. And by the way, the reason for our listeners around the world, reason there are 106.7 songs is because the frequency in Los Angeles is 106.7. And by the way, K-Rock is the preeminent alternative music station. And in the 80s, it was
preeminent
bomb.
Because we grew up in Los Angeles. So, of course, that's what we're going to talk about. These are the songs that kind of shaped who we are. Because this is what we listened to in 1983. You were graduating from high school, I believe.
I was. So if you want to know, you know, what shaped us, if you want to, you listen closely to this music. And you can see how we became the way we are.
Yes, because I remember 1983 and the way I was. So
vividly, in your OP shorts.
Yes, exactly. I think we touched on that a little bit. So in 83, you're working at Camp Beverly Hills.
I was working at Camp Beverly Hills, and I was wearing, I was wearing slop sweatshirts and a lot of sweatpants because that's what
Did you say
sold.
Slop?
That's what they were called. That was the style of them, slop sweatshirts, like sloppy, kind of big necks, and they hung on you a little bit. Not flash dance style, but they were just big, and they were like, you know, army pants and sweatpants, and it was the best place to work.
I don't remember that phrase at all.
That was probably a Camp Beverly Hills phrase, and anybody who wore the clothing would probably know it.
So big and bulky was the...
big and kind of sloppy and just...
Oh, see, yeah, that was tough.
For an OP kid?
It's different. Well, no, it's very comfortable, so that's fine. You know, it's not like... fashion today is a little more tighter.
Yes,
kind,
it is.
They kind of tightened it up a little.
It's pretty skinny.
Yeah.
Styles today.
Yeah, the 80s, I could approve of the slop style. So that yes. Instead of, now it's called loose fit, correct?
Loose fit or boyfriend jeans.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
For girls, boyfriend jeans are a little bigger. But we used to wear those in the 80s also. We didn't call them that, but we used to wear like big Levi's and just belt them tight at the waist so they were baggy. I just remember that. Those were really comfortable as opposed to skinny jeans that we wear today.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Very nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
We did. We missed this in our episode, in our fashion episode.
Okay. No, I'm so glad this has been covered. Now I'm learning so much.
Now we can move on to the music.
Okay. All right. Well, yes, we can. So again, it's the 106.7 top songs of 1983. And the 0.7 is usually something quirky. And that is definitely the case with this. It's an artist called Robert Roll, and the song is called The Dog Boat.
I cannot tell you the first thing about this song.
All right. Well,
can you?
It's to the love boat.
The dog boat.
Yes. Did you not listen to this song?
I did.
Oh, Holly, you said you did your homework.
I did my homework. But I skipped right over 106.7 because I figured you being the quirkier of us. Would have more info on the dog boat.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going
shiny and new.
I'm going to.
You can play it.
You know what? It's not even. It's funny. It's not even on YouTube.
Wow.
I know. No one has access to the song. Let me try one more time. Let's see if I Google it.
Do you remember the song from the time?
From the time.
I mean, do you remember this in 1983?
No, I don't remember this at all. Do you remember The Love Boat?
Of course. Okay. I never missed it.
Who was your favorite employee on the boat? Who would you want to hang out with on the boat?
Well, I thought Gopher was cute,
Gopher. Really?
I thought Gopher was cute, but I mean, Julie McCoy, who didn't want to be a cruise director? I mean, it's kind of a pain in the ass job, but really pretty cool.
She had the, yeah. Did you like the haircut? I mean, that was like the Dorothy Hamill.
Totally. I didn't have it.
But you didn't have that. No.
That was pretty bold. That would have been a bold move for a teenager to take on that haircut. I wasn't that bold. I was kind of go along with the masses.
Well, you know, Molly Ringwald had the kind of that shorter cut, but you like to.
I had hair. I had big hair.
You were a rocker.
Big hair, yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
Big feathered hair.
Nice. It's all good.
Did you have big hair?
No.
Your hair looks exactly the same as it did back then.
It was pretty much a bowl cut. I mean, it was just glued to my head. It didn't really move too much.
Did you spray it?
No.
Or did
no,
you just
it was
sit
just
that
kind of just kind of sat that way. There was nothing interesting about the haircut. It was just I never did anything to my hair. I never colored it or tweaked it or, you know, curled it up.
Yeah.
No Jerry curls, nothing like that.
Do you think, so we have a saying, or we wonder about this saying, I should say, in our house. Okay. That, because, you know, my Ari has gone through a lot of hairstyles. Even though each one seems like it lasts a really long time. Well, yeah, there was the mullet. There was some weirdo.
Well, we all had mullets.
Yes. And then he had a perm. He had long permed hair.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I do not remember that phase of his
around our life. Wedding.
Okay.
No, sorry. It was after our wedding because in our wedding he had a mullet. And then
nice.
He wore when he had the permed, long permed hair, he wore it in a pony, sort of like a half ponytail.
Okay.
And
half
then,
ponytail. Oh, God, that was a horrible look
at
the time.
It was just, I think it
I'm
was
sure
just
it looked
keep
good
it out
Steve.
Of his face. Well, anything looks good on him.
There you go.
But yeah, so does the hair make the man?
Well, you tell me because I.
No, I don't think so. No. Back in those days, in my shallow days.
Yes.
I might have thought so.
Yeah.
I mean, I was big on the mullet when I met my Ari.
Big on the mullet? Like, well, really, you liked that look?
Well,
I mean,
it was Duran Duran.
You loved it because Bono had it, correct?
Well, I loved it because my Ari had it.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow. Bono had the most intense.
Bono had a great mullet.
Mullet.
Especially right around that time.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
He regrets that, I'm sure.
I don't know. It was a time. It was a sign of the
it
time.
It was. Yeah, I know. It was. But
okay. So are we?
So anyway, so the dog boat is there is no sign of it whatsoever. But it was a thing, and I know when I pulled it up a few years ago when I was doing the research on this, it was to the tune of the Love Boat.
Okay.
So you're a Julie Cruise guy.
Julie
Cruz. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of I'm thinking of Twin Peaks, Julie Cruz, but this was the cruise director.
Yes.
This is the way my mind
works. But her name was Lauren.
Lauren Tweez. Tweez. Yes.
Yeah.
From what I understand, huge cocaine problem.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You're spreading rumors, are you?
No, that's pretty much.
Is it a known thing?
Yeah, that's pretty much a known thing. I don't know where she is now.
Is she clean now?
I'm sure she is.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the Love Boat. Oh, a lot of candy going on. Too candy. Yeah,
well, I mean, the year.
I mean, yes, exactly. I mean, and she should be doing that. While you're on the Love Boat and you're making a lot of money, that's what you do. Except for Gavin McLeod, I'm sure was.
Yes, on the straight and narrow.
Yeah. So it was Grady. What was his real name? He became like a congressman.
Yeah.
For Iowa. I can't remember his full name.
Grandy. Could that be
Fred Grandy, that's it.
Yeah, see?
All right, there you go.
Okay, that was a lot of time.
I mean, we're talking a lot about the Love Boat. Yeah. We can go off on the Love Boat forever. But anyway, so you are a Julie cruise director.
I am that, Julie McCoy, your
Julie
cruise
McCoy,
director.
Your cruise director.
Yeah.
Love
and
that.
You? Who was your?
Oh, I would be Isaac all the way.
Bartender.
Of course. I mean, come on.
Yes.
Double fingers.
I could have guessed that.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. He was the best.
Yeah. Well,
he was. Yeah. Come on, not Doc. You're gonna.
Yeah.
Doc was better on Get Smart.
Oh,
Siegfried.
Yeah.
He played Siegfried.
Yeah, yes, yes, yes. Get Smart was probably better.
All right. Well, what other Love Boat characters can you name?
I cannot think about Love Boat without thinking about Fantasy Island.
Well, sure. They came. It was
right
one
after.
Right after the other.
Yeah, it was like 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was. When Saturday was something you wanted to do on your
was it Saturday
program.
Or Friday?
It was on Saturday.
Oh,
which is crazy because now something's on. I mean, I think no one watches TV on
you TiVo it.
Well, yeah. Nobody watches. Yeah. No one watches TV on Saturday. I don't think. I have no idea how TV works anymore.
Nobody watches anything on a network. Very few people watch network.
Yeah. The Golden Globes came out, and I think I don't think anything on network was recognized.
Golden Globe nominees.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was all. It's all Netflix.
Yeah. And Amazon.
Amazon and all of that Hulu stuff. Okay.
So can we move on to number 106?
All right. So anyway, that was the dog boat, Robert Roll. Shout out to wherever you are, Robert Roll.
That was a lot of talk. Sorry. That was a lot of talk for a song we know nothing about.
Correct.
can we move on to number 106?
Okay. So this is Now the Countdown Actually Gets Started.
Let the countdown begin.
Yeah. So Slipping Away by Dave Edmunds.
Yes.
Okay. What can you tell me about this?
Are you a fan? Are you a Dave Edmunds fan?
Of course. Dave Edmunds and Nick Lowe.
Yeah.
All that, the rockabilly stuff. Rockpile. Yeah. Love that stuff.
Rockpile. Exactly. Well, this song was his first, it was his return to American Top 40 for the first time since 1970, and this was 1983. Do you remember the song from 1970? Do you know what it was?
No, please tell me.
I hear you knocking.
Oh, see, that's funny. I was going to say, I hear you knocking, but I didn't think that was way back in 1970.
I didn't either, but here you go.
Okay. So Dave Edmunds then was probably like nearing 40 when this came out.
Sounds like you're right.
Yeah, like late 30s, something like that. Because, yeah, if he was around in 1970, he must have been at least in his early 20s. And
in the 70s. Yeah, he could have been 20. He could have been 20.
Suddenly, suddenly it's 13 years later, and you got another hit in your hands.
And you have a hit that was written and produced by?
Nick Lowe. Thomas Dolby.
No. No. You're getting a little bit closer.
All right. Elvis Costello.
Nope. Who's another fabulous producer.
Another fabulous.
With a very distinctive sound.
Brian Eno. I don't know. No, it's not that Brian Eno.
Jeff Lynne.
Jeff Lynne. Oh, see, that makes perfect sense.
Jeff Lynne. And get this. This, I was very surprised to read this. His first choice to produce this song was Phil Collins.
Okay.
But he was not available.
Well, in 83, he was the hottest thing.
Yeah. Well, yes, he was the hottest thing, but when you think about who Jeff Lynne is now and, you know, where he's been, you know, if I wanted a producer for my song, I think I might go for Jeff Lynne over Phil Collins.
Yeah, especially, well, the sound of this song, Slipping Away, with Phil Collins, it would have sounded a little bit different, possibly.
Yeah, well, okay, so he said, I thought of Jeff Lynne because he was Mr. Techno back then, and he used to make great sounding records.
Mr. Techno? I never think of that.
No, you don't, but his sound back at the, you know, back in these days, yeah, it was a little more techno than earlier stuff, ELO stuff. So this isn't right. This offends me.
Well, then please say it.
So he says, now I listen to them and they sound a bit dated, his tracks with Jeff Lynne. I'm a bit puzzled as to why I was so enamored with Jeff, but he's very creative in the studio. He can go in with nothing and write on the spot, make a record. I was taken with that. I would not take anything away from Jeff Lynne.
I mean, it's a rockabilly song and it is of that time.
Yeah.
And Jeff Lynne makes Jeff Lynne records. So it sounds like a Jeff Lynne record. You know, when
he has the Jeff Lynne touch, for sure.
You can definitely hear Free Fallin'. You think George Harrison's, you know, Got My Mind Set on You.
Yes.
You know, when they did the Beatles, Free as a Bird, they all have that
Jeff Lynne sound.
The Jeff Lynne sound. So that's what he got. You sign up Jeff Lynne, you get Jeff Lynne.
You know what you're getting, exactly. You're not going to, we'll get a Jeff Lynne sound regardless.
Yes. So he did get that, and it's a good song. So
I like it. I think it's a great song.
Okay. All right, I'm easing on the brakes here. Let's take a break.
Already?
Yes.
We'll be right back.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shout It Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things KISS. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycom order plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon. Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment of Protein Plus meal plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
Hooray.
Yay. Welcome back, Dave.
All right. Thank you. Let's get back to the podcast. Moving on to, by the way, that both The Dog Boat and Slipping Away are not on the charts, the updated list. There is only one song that, or actually one and a half songs, kind of. There's only one song that is on the current top 80.
Oh.
Okay.
I think I'm not looking ahead, but I'm going to guess.
And one will be on the... from 1982 was on the list.
Oh.
But was not on for this year.
Oh, you're throwing an extra little bit of information.
All right. So number 105, this is a B-side from A Flock of Seagulls.
Yep.
It shows you how hot they were.
Yeah.
In Los Angeles.
They were pretty big.
Yeah. So this song is called Committed, which was not even on their album. Wasn't originally.
Oh.
This was a B-side. I don't know what song it was. It might have been Photograph of You, Wishing. Yeah. I don't know if it was. When they reissued this album on
Space
CD.
Space Age Love Song, right? Is the album Space Age Love Song?
I don't know.
Yes.
Whatever their second album was. But when they reissued this album, they put it on there, like some extras.
Yeah.
But this was not, if you bought the vinyl in 1983, this was not on there.
I did not realize that.
Yeah. It's a good song, but it sounds like K-Rock.
Yeah.
If you listen to it, it's like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I can see why Freddie Snakeskin would be attracted to this song. Yeah.
Like,
but that's what they did. They dug into, like, they didn't necessarily play what, you know, maybe
anybody
the record,
else was playing.
Maybe the record label was like, no, you have to play this. I'm like, no, I flipped it over. This is the better song, which happens a lot.
Yeah, well, you do get the feeling that K-Rock might have played anything Flock of Seagulls at the time.
People like them a lot.
Yeah, people.
People. Well, people meaning...
We're people.
Meaning teenagers in 1983. You remember the song? Did you give a listen to it?
I did. I didn't remember it until I heard it. And maybe it's just been too many years.
Probably. I mean, that's what's kind of fun about this list that we're going to go through. There's a lot of songs, like this song definitely is not in the top 80 of 1983, but it is, it's a good song and it's worth checking out again, which will be on our Spotify playlist.
Yes. Can we move on to number 105?
No, we're going to move on to 104. Flock of Seagulls is 105. Yes.
You're right, because Dave Edmonds was 106.
Yes.
Okay.
So number 104 is the Joe Boxers, Just Got Lucky.
Do you like the song?
Well, yes. It's fun, quirky, dancey.
I love this song.
Everything you love about the 80s.
Yes, exactly. From the album Like Gangbusters.
Okay. Did you buy the album?
I don't remember. I probably did not.
Yeah. Did you buy albums in the...
I did buy records, were you buying for records sure. In 83? I was buying records.
Where'd you go? Where was your place?
I went to the warehouse and to
Moby... Where?
Moby Di- to the where? Where? The warehouse.
Oh, very good. Okay.
Moby Disc and yes. Music Plus.
Yes. Licorice and Pizza?
Licorice Pizza. That was more in your... Oh, we didn't that was have my neighborhood. Near me.
Yeah. It was across from Topanga Plaza was the Licorice Pizza.
So I did used to go there. We used to go there when I was working because I worked across the street.
I had the triangle of there was Licorice Pizza and Moby Disc were on the same side of the street on Topanga. And then I had to go across the street to the warehouse. And then I determined who had the better deal. I had a lot of time on my hands. I was desperate. You know, I had $5 in my pocket. And like, okay.
You had to make sure you were getting the best.
The best deal. Yeah. I had to find whatever was on sale.
Was there a Ticketmaster in that warehouse?
There was a Ticketmaster at Licorice Pizza.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Where we used to go in line to wait for tickets.
There was a Ticketmaster at the May Company. Do you remember the May Company?
There was?
Yeah. Remember the May Company?
May Company, then Robinson's May.
Yeah. And Fallbrook was the Ticketron. Those were the two competing. There was Ticketmaster and Ticketron.
Back before there was a monopoly?
Yeah, well, it's not a monopoly. Well, a little bit.
Oh, yeah. There's not a monopoly? Don't get me started.
You know what? All the money goes to the artist, by the way. Ticketmaster is not making that
no
much
fees.
Money.
No, yeah.
They don't. Those fees go to the artist. They're all going to the artist. None of this is going to Ticketmaster. Ticketmaster is making their money. But these little extra fees all goes to
those fees don't go to the don't go to the corporation.
No, doesn't go to Ticketmaster. No, Ticketmaster is willing to be the bad guy as opposed to Maroon 5. Ticketmaster is happy to be the bad guy and just say, well, you know, it is what it is. We're sorry. You can choose your seats now. You know, there's better options, but it all funnels out to
artists. Look further at this.
Oh yeah. I don't know if I'll put this on the podcast, but yeah, that is the truth. They're very happy to play Darth Vader, but they are not Darth Vader.
Blame the artists?
Blame the managers of the artists.
This is very interesting, Dave. You're opening my eyes.
Yeah. It's fine. Yeah, it's okay.
Okay.
All right. So, Just Got Lucky. Do you know what movie this was featured on? Without cheating, which you already are.
I've already cheated. I didn't remember until I saw it, and now of course I remember.
Makes sense.
So what movie?
40-Year-Old Virgin.
Yep.
Yeah. But that's a good song placement there.
Yes, I definitely think so.
But yeah, it's a fun, upbeat song. And how can you hate it? How can you hate that stuff?
You can't. It's a pretty happy song.
Yes. We like happy.
Yeah. And that was a song that broke them internationally.
And then they fell off the earth after they broke.
Pretty much.
I mean, which is... You know what? You have one song and that is great. It gets played on, still remembered. It's on a movie that you love. That's good. That's something I'd be happy. I'd be thrilled if I had a Just Got Lucky song that, you know.
Yeah, but I think most artists would like to have longevity.
Everybody does. And they still, I'm sure, you know, as we go to these 80s shows, they all, you know.
Yeah.
People still want to hear these songs.
Yeah.
You could hear the Joe Box. I'm sure there's a lot. I'm sure they had a few other songs, probably in the UK, that struck.
They did.
So, yeah, I'm sure they still have a career once in a while. Yeah. I mean, they got enough to sustain themselves for, you know, if they want to get the band back together. I'm sure it's just one guy in Joe Boxer is like, all right, let's hire some session players and we'll play Just Got Lucky for.
Oh, you're talking like Annabella.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
Okay.
All right. Moving on up to...
Penthouse in the Sky?
No. Getting a burning sensation?
I am in the belly of the whale.
Nice. L.A. band.
Yes. And
which I could have sworn, just listening to that song, I was like, I wouldn't think they were an L.A. band. I would think they're from New Zealand or something like that.
Are you getting a Crowded House vibe?
Just reggae vibe, light reggae, and another also like Just Got Lucky, just a fun fun tune. Yeah. And this has a little reggae.
Little calypso.
Yes, calypso. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. I love the song. You know what I'm finding? I'm just going to insert a little commentary here.
That's what my podcast
own.
Is for.
My own. It's sort of an editorial.
Okay. That's why we have this forum. So you could say whatever you want.
Okay. So this is 1983. So we've looked at 80, 81, 82. I found, I think, on those charts, those bottom of the chart songs like 106.7 to 100 weren't necessarily my favorite. But in 1983, I really liked all these songs. I mean, really like them. Would have put them on a mixtape.
Oh, yeah. Well, also, right, you're a senior now.
Yes, I am. and now I'm a senior.
Yeah, I mean, these songs are literally the soundtrack to your adolescence.
It's true.
Burning Sensations, the Belly of the Whale. This was it's just such a great, well-produced song. Yeah, it sounds like something from a band that probably could have gone further. I don't know. With a song like that, it sounds like it. Yeah.
Maybe they didn't. Well,
there was more, yeah, like there was a lot of possibilities. But did you know the front man of Burning Sensations was in another band for a short amount of time, which you're probably cheating on now?
I do know.
Okay. What band was that?
The Motels?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, wait.
So maybe that's why there's no Burning Sensations, because he left to be with the Motels, because they were about to have a big album as well.
He's actually in another band right now.
He's in another band
yes,
right now.
Yes, he is.
Is he in U2?
No.
No?
It's a classic rock band that you've never heard of.
Oh, Led Zeppelin?
You've never heard of them.
A band I've never heard of. Okay.
Well,
do you want to guess? Yeah. Oh, this is fun.
Knucklehead.
Okay, well, I don't know, but tell me who it is. You don't insult me. Just tell me what the band is.
Very funny, Knucklehead.
I have another fun fact about Belly of the Whale.
Tell me.
All right. This song is still on the updated K-Rock list.
It is?
It is.
That was absolutely not going to be my guess.
This is number 80.
Wow, because there are two other songs that we're about to get to that I could swear would be on the top 80.
All right.
Including the next song.
This is the asterisk song. Because this was number 18 in 1982. 82.
That's it.
All right. So Red Skies at Night.
From Shuttered Room.
Did you have that album? Whenever you say the album, I'm going to ask you if you had that record.
So I'm guessing I did, because I was a fan and I'd seen them.
You did see them.
I can't remember the album. Yeah, I'd seen them before. Yeah. I think I must have seen them at the Palladium somewhere. I can't remember.
That sounds good. That would be a good show. Mm-hmm. 83 to see the Fix.
Yeah. They still play. You can go see them now.
I'm sure you can.
You can.
Do you know the lead singer?
Cy Kernan.
Very good.
Yeah.
Can you name another member?
No.
Okay. But he had a haircut.
It was sort of a mullet. Like, it was a modified mullet.
I mean, not Flock of Seagulls type haircut, which was spectacular. See, that was a good cut.
Yes. And that was an original cut.
Yes. And it was good when Chandler Bing had it in the 80s. I love that. That was a good look. So that was a memorable cut. I remember Cy also had like the front was... Something was happening in the front, long bangs, or was it? It was kind of angular cut,
but
right?
It was also a straight mullet.
Was it a mullet?
Straight? I don't know. I remember it being a mullet.
I think. Okay, I'm looking up.
We're gonna post a picture on Instagram.
Okay.
You know, they re-recorded this song for an album in 1987 at the request of MCA Records.
Well, that's a thing now.
Yeah.
As you can ask. Taylor Swift, she'll tell you all about that.
Yes. Yeah, but that's for a different reason.
But a lot of people do that. I know Jeff Lynne re-recorded a lot of his records.
Yeah, but this was only a few years. This was only 4 years later. I know they record.
It never works. It's never the same.
No.
I mean, you hear and go, oh, okay.
Might as well just go back to the original.
Right. Well, that's why, I don't know if Taylor's going to, because you can't recreate what you sounded like when you were 20, when you're 40.
No.
50, try.
Or 30 in Taylor's case.
Or they'll do different, there's different production touches now that they'll throw in there.
Yeah. Fans don't need that.
No. I understand, to get those royalties, you want to own this.
Yeah. But for her, I get it. I absolutely get it.
She's also not...
An innocent.
She's not that innocent.
Oh, no, I understand.
Actually, Cy kind of had that's kind of how my hair looked a little bit. Except I wasn't blonde.
Yeah,
that's kind of bullish.
This
was it—the Billy Zabka look from Karate Kid.
Totally,
that's it. That's what, that's
like
it.
The swooping bangs.
Yeah.
Sweeping bangs.
Yeah. That's, yeah, I could see him at Cobra Kai. Very good. Yeah, that's yeah,
the Cy Kernan. Yeah, Cy Kernan / Billy Zabka.
Yeah,
or William Zabka, as he goes by now.
Oh, is that right?
Okay. I believe so. Yeah,
he's always Billy.
Yeah,
just stick with it. Stick with what works. So you love The Fix, and you saw them, and we love their haircut. You're not sure if you had their, if you went to the warehouse to pick up their album Shuttered Room.
I imagine I probably did.
Yeah, but that's pretty.
My memory's fuzzy.
But this album, I mean, it was on the charts in 1982.
Yeah,
and continue. You know. Just kind of bled into 83.
Yeah.
The Fix was a big band. Yeah, The Fix and A Flock of Seagulls were really big bands back then.
Yeah, they were staples. They played the song on Saturday Night Live in 1984. So it must have been a hit for a long time. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the time we didn't watch Saturday Night Live. Like that was like after the original cast left, and then they for 5 years, it was kind of like except for Eddie Murphy. Show wasn't that great. So maybe I did see it. Yeah, because there was Eddie.
There were a few, and Eddie Murphy was worth watching for, but there were some others of whom, of course, I cannot remember.
Well, there was Joe Piscopo. Yeah.
Joe.
Right? I think those were kind of like the two superstars.
Yeah.
Not going to think Ted Kaczynski is one of the big stars or...
Who?
Exactly.
Ted Kaczynski?
Tim Kaczynski, I believe was his name. Who else? There was like Charles Rocket... I don't know. Louis Dreyfus was in the show.
Yes.
During the kind of the depths of the that time.
Okay, so 1984.
Who was in the cast in 84?
Jim Belushi, which I didn't even know he was on SNL. Billy Crystal.
Oh, 84. Oh, okay. So this was.
Christopher Guest.
Okay, so 84 was during that time. Gotcha.
Yeah, and Julia Louis Dreyfus for sure. Harry Shearer. Harry Shearer and Martin Short.
Well, they did. They did the synchronized swimming. Skit. So 84. Okay. I didn't realize.
Tim Kaczynski. That's who you're talking about. I was thinking about Ted Kaczynski.
No, it's completely different. We're going to end this episode with number 101. So only seven songs this episode. What is this band? And please tell me about them because I have no clue.
Precious Way is the song.
Okay.
The band. Are we going to have different pronunciations on this? I would say Machinations.
Ooh. Okay. Yeah.
What
that's
would
right.
you say?
Machinations.
Okay. Australian.
What would you say?
Machinations? If you were from Israel.
Okay.
Machinations. No, I would not say that.
Machination. No, don't you dare.
No.
I prefer the machinations.
Machinations? No.
But they're Australian.
They're Australian. So let's say machinations.
Machinations.
Yes. So this was actually the second and final single from their debut album, Esteem.
Okay. Are they still around?
I do not believe they are still around.
Okay.
I can tell you who they were. It was Tim Doyle on guitar, Fred Lonergan on lead vocals, and Tony Starr on keyboards, vocals, and drum machine, because, of course, it was 1983.
Mm-hmm.
Although they formed in 1980. Yeah.
Sounds about right. So this is probably something that Freddie found in the import bin at Pooh Bah Records or wherever.
Pooh Bah, yeah. 80s music trivia quiz.
Okay, yes, that's right. It is time for that. Let's do that.
Yeah.
No more machinations.
No more machinations. So that's that. That's
okay. So now we move on to our quiz deck, or what is it? That's the what we got. It's called the 80s music
trivia quiz.
Interesting.
Appropriately named. So am I asking you, or are you asking me?
Since you're holding the book,
I'll ask you.
Yeah. Okay. And we'll make a note that next time I ask you.
Yep. Okay. So I'll put my initials on the next one, and we'll forget what that means. Okay.
All right.
No cheating.
All right. Never.
Okay.
Never.
All right. And yeah, I don't like these year questions. In what year was the song I Know Him So Well released by Whitney Houston?
I Know Him So Well. I can't remember that song, but I mean, she came out in 86, 87.
So your choices are 86, 87, or 88.
Okay. So I'll say 86.
Okay. You can say 86.
And would that be correct?
No, it would be 1988.
Oh, okay. It wasn't her debut, or was that her debut? 88, or was it?
I can't answer that question. I'm going to have to keep that a secret.
It was, okay, you keep it a secret. And that's it? That's our test?
No, you have 10 questions here.
Oh, okay.
Well, okay, let's go through these. You'll get the rest of them pretty quickly.
All right, so I'm 0 for 1.
You're 0 for 1. The song Every Little Thing She Does Is Magic, released by the Police, was part of which album?
Correct. Ghost in the Machine.
Very good.
Okay.
You didn't even need the multiple choice.
One for two.
Okay. Which studio album by Tina Turner contained the song What's Love Got to Do with It?
Private Dancer.
Very good. I guess I didn't really need to look at the...
Come on, let's go.
Which of these is not a song released by the group Wham? Everything She Wants, I Want to Know What Love Is.
I Want to Know What Love Is. All right.
Which of these songs by Wham was released in 1986?
Ooh.
Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go, Last Christmas, or Edge of Heaven?
Oh, Christmas. It was the season. Let's go Last Christmas.
Nope, Edge of Heaven.
Okay.
All right, you're 2 for 5, 3 for 5.
I got 3.
In which year did Michael Jackson release the single Smooth Criminal?
87.
No, I'm not giving you the answer. 87, 88, or 89?
I mean, the album came out in 87 or 88? 87.
Single?
So if you want to say single, maybe it was 88.
There you go.
Okay.
Awesome.
But the album Bad came out in 87, containing Smooth Criminal.
Okay, it's the single specifically.
I understand where you're going. Okay.
Listen up.
All right.
Okay, I appreciate you showing off your knowledge. I really do.
Keep up to stick. Listen to the question.
All right, who released the song Nobody Told Me in 1984?
Nobody Told Me There'd Be Days Like These?
Strange Days. Well, it says Nobody Told Me.
Strange Days Indeed. I mean, like 81?
No, who released the song?
Oh, John Lennon?
Very good.
Okay.
Yeah, listen closely to the question because I'm going to ding you if you give a wrong answer based on what you think you know. Man,
stickler rules. Taskmaster.
Here
we go. Yeah. The taskmaster. Likes that.
The song Eye of the Tiger by the group Survivor was the theme song for what film?
That was Rocky 3.
Yes, it was.
Okay.
Who sang The Girl Is Mine with Michael Jackson in 1982?
It was Sir Paul McCartney. Yeah. He wasn't Sir Paul at the time. But
no, he was not a sir at the time.
All right.
Which of these is not an album released by the Eurythmics?
All right.
Revenge, Venus and Mars, Be Yourself Tonight.
Venus and Mars. That's a Paul. That's a Wings. Good.
Yeah.
All right.
Very good. So what are you? Are you 7 for 10?
I'm pretty sure I got them all right.
No, you're right. I think you're 8 for 10.
Okay, we'll go. So it's a solid B.
8 for 10. So very good, Dave.
Solid B. Oh, thank you. Oh,
sorry.
God.
Okay.
It's just tough to do this. Come on, I know.
It's a whole new setup. I'm not used to it. I'm not used to our alternative studio.
Life in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
All right. So until next week, this is Dave.
This is Holly.
Check you later.
Over and out.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.